ife ti re ni ki a se.
Is anybody like that here?
Yari eni be ni.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear.
Koko so no koro.
That every one of you from now on you will begin to excel. Amen. Who is the one fellow that you stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention?
Allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God and the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn. You're watching Redemption Way. You're watching Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God and the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn. There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship.
The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, you can begin to rejoice because I have switched on your light. In 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 to 12, and that prophecy is a very big one. If you want to know the full meaning of that, you can just imagine a car traveling at night with the headlamps switched off. You know, that car is not going to make much progress. But when the light is switched on, then you can ride in dominion. I think the fellow that God, that prophecy is for, should really shout a big hallelujah. That's a really big one. You see, because when you don't have light, moving about is difficult. You collide with things you shouldn't collide with. The way will be there, you won't even know where the door is. But when the light is on, doors that you didn't know were there before, you'll be able to locate. I think I claim that one for myself also. Glory be to God. Anyway, in 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 9 to 12, 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 9 to 12, when the enemies of Elijah came to arrest him, the Almighty God roasted them. He can freeze your enemy. He can render them impotent. He can drown them. He can bury them alive. He can bomb them. He can roast them. And then the one that I like a lot is in 2 Kings chapter 7, from verse 1 to 11. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 11. You know the story. When the man of God prophesied that there was going to be abundance within 24 hours, and one intellectual said that, how can that be? If God opens the window of heaven, can this thing be? And the man of God said, well, you will see it, but you won't partake of it. Which is why I've always told my children, whenever I say God is about to do something, and you think it is impossible, please just don't say it. Keep your mouth shut. Because those who say impossible to God, they always see the miracle, only they won't take part of it. How many of you believe that with God all things are possible? Let me hear you say amen loud and clear. Okay. Alright, so after the man of God said what God was going to do, God then decided to use four lepers. And the Bible said when the four lepers were going towards the camp of the enemy, God caused the enemy to hear a noise. And when they heard the noise, they scattered. I am prophesying to somebody here tonight. All your enemies, physically, mentally, maritally, financially, spiritually, will hear a noise tonight. You know, people always ask, why do you keep on asking somebody to shout hallelujah? It's because when you shout that word, the enemy hears it and he becomes frightened. Do I hear somebody shout hallelujah? The King of Kings reigns over enemies. So you don't have to worry about your enemies anymore. He will take care of them. Now, he reigns over stagnation. Oh, by the way, your prayer point number one, you may want to write that one down now. Prayer point number one will be, Father, silence all my enemies. And if you like, you may put in bracket in front of that and say, cause them to hear a noise. If my enemies just hear a noise from you, I know that I won't see them again. So silence all my enemies, and then in bracket, cause them to hear a noise. Now, Bartimaeus had been stagnant. He had been on one spot, year in, year out. They will bring him, somebody will probably lead him to the highway side and drop him there. And he was a beggar when he was 10 years old, he was a beggar when he was 20, he was a beggar when he was 30, he was a beggar when he was 40. If he ever had any promotion at all, it would be senior beggar. And there are some of us who have been going around in circles over the years. But tonight, promotion is coming. Because the King of Kings reigns over stagnation. He said in John 12 verse 32, John 12 verse 32, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself." And I've explained to you before that once the Almighty God decides to begin to promote you, the sky is not even the limit. Because the Bible says his hands are everlasting. He said, underneath are the everlasting arms. I've given you an illustration before here, those of you who have been coming, that if a man wants to lift you up, how high the man can lift you is determined by his own height. If I'm going to lift up this my little notebook, this how far I can go? Or if I go on my toes, maybe I can get it a little higher. But after some time, standing on my toes become a bit uncomfortable, so I go back to my normal soles. After some time, my hand will become weary, and the note will begin to go down. If human beings promote you, you are coming down. But if the everlasting God, the one with everlasting arms, begins to promote you, the promotion is without an ending. And I decree tonight that the one who has the everlasting arm will pick you up and begin to promote you in Jesus' name. Somebody once said that they have seen people who started programs like this one, and that it will rise for a while and then it will collapse. He said, but what we have seen in this your case is that the things seem to be getting bigger and bigger all the time. I said, because it is not my program. It is God's program. If it is God's program, it can only get bigger. Next time you come now, it's going to be bigger than this. And the same will happen in your life in Jesus' name. I don't know if you have heard of the testimony of one of my daughters who was sacked in a place of work for no good reason. And so she decided to sue the company. And the company is a very big company. And you know, back home in Africa, if you are big, you can settle almost everybody. So they settled the police, they settled the judge. And so they kept on postponing the case for 17 years. My daughter was at home, doing nothing, earning no salary, and the judge kept on saying, come tomorrow, come tomorrow. Case adjourned, case adjourned. And then she came to a Holy Ghost night. A festival of life. And God spoke and said, there is someone here tonight that will have a case in court that at the next mention of that case, not only will the case be heard, but judgment will be given in your favor. And she jumped and said, Lord, in this crowd, you've pick me out. So she began to rejoice. Well, to cut a long story short, the next time they called the case, the judge said, the police asked for adjournment, the lawyer or whoever asked for adjournment, the judge said, no way, I'm giving judgment today. And the judgment is, this woman has been wrongfully terminated. I am asking right now that the salary for 17 years be paid to her, and as a punishment for the company, I ask that they add 5 years salary as bonus. Because when God decides to put an end to your retardation, to your stagnation, He does it in a big way. That's why I'm saying to those of you who have not been promoted when you should have been promoted, get ready for multiple promotion in Jesus' name. We know very well that He said in Exodus 15 verse 26, Exodus 15 verse 26, He says that if you will obey Him, He will make sure that no sickness will come near you at all. He said, I will be the Lord that will heal you. I will be your physician. The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 20, He said, He sent His word and He healed them. In other words, all He needs to do to get rid of any form of sickness or disease is just to issue a command. Say to sickness, sickness, disappear, and that will be the situation. We had a testimony at the last Holy Ghost service in Nigeria. There was this sister who had a growth inside her throat, and the doctors told her about 3 or so years ago that she would not last 5 years. And so things were getting worse and worse and worse, so much so that even swallowing water at all became a problem. Tremendous pain and all kinds of difficulties. And so she was coming to the Holy Ghost service. I think she was coming to the Holy Ghost service of May. And she cried to the Almighty God and said, with you all things are possible. Tell your son to mention my case. Speak to him so that my case will be mentioned. And as I took the microphone, the very first case that was mentioned, word came straight. I said, there's someone here. There's a growth in your throat that is not allowing you to swallow, and the growth is gone. And she jumped up and said, now, God, I know you're a good God. And before she got home, there was no growth anywhere anymore. I know somebody came here today saying, God, please solve my problem. I am assuring you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you will not go home with that problem. And then he reigns over darkness. Like we all know, a blind man is a man who is living in darkness. And like I said, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, Genesis 1 verse 3 said, let there be light, and there was light. In James chapter 1 verse 17, James 1 verse 17, the Bible says, in him there was no darkness at all. And we know that darkness is a symbol of demons. When we talk of demons, we call them forces of darkness. And whether the demons are few or many, when he commands them, they will leave. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, I will bring you out of hiding soon. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, now that your commitment to me is complete, I will restore to you everything that the enemy has stolen. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, you have intense pain in the soles of your feet, that walking becomes very, very painful. Now, he asked me to tell you, the pain is gone. I will never return. I think I will say amen to this one too. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, beginning from now, every month you will achieve more and more. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, Luke 8, verse 1 to 3, the Bible talks about Mary Magdalene, a woman who had 7 demons. Jesus spoke a word, and the 7 demons disappeared, and the woman who used to be demon-possessed became a divine treasurer. In the case we mentioned earlier on, in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, Mark 5, verse 1 to 5, I used to think the madman of Gadara had 2,000 demons. But I was corrected by a Bible scholar just in June. He said, no, the demons in that man number 6,000. So whether the demons are just 1 or 7 or 6,000, just one word from the commander-in-chief and the demons will be gone. If there's anyone here tonight with any form of demonic possession, in that name that's above every other name, be free in Jesus' name. So he reigns over darkness. He reigns over poverty. Bartimaeus was a poor man. It's a terrible thing to be a beggar. A beggar is somebody, which is probably why he was hated. A beggar is a burden to himself and a burden to others. A beggar is somebody who cannot do what he wants to do until somebody helps him. A beggar is not just somebody who sits by the roadside. A beggar is someone who cannot do what he wants to do unless somebody helps him. When you take that definition of a beggar, you will know there are quite a few beggars present among us today. And in that name that's above every other name, you won't beg again. Now, thank you, Lord. Amen. The Lord said there's someone here today. He said, I will put fresh oil into the engine of your life. Now, Genesis 17 verse 1, the reason why he reigns over poverty is because Genesis 17 verse 1 calls him Jehovah El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. The God who can say to the little you have to multiply, who can say that the multiplication will never end. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16, the widow of Zarephath gave her last meal. But God kept on multiplying the meal again and again and again, and the multiplication continued nonstop. The reason why many of us suffer lack is not because we have not had a breakthrough before. It's that many of us had just one breakthrough and that was all. And when we spent that breakthrough and there's nothing more coming, then we are back to square one. But when the King of Kings decides to pay attention to your financial situation, he has a way of just making sure that you've not finished one before the fresh one will come. And that will be your testimony in Jesus' name. Now, because of time, Bartimaeus' situation was a hopeless case. It wasn't that he had eye problems. It was he was blind. And he wasn't just blind. He was born like that. He's been blind from the number one. So there was nothing anybody could do. No doctor could help him. His case was hopeless. But my God reigns over hopelessness. Why? Because in Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, Colossians 1 verse 27, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10, Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10, when God brought Ezekiel to that valley of dry bones, the Bible said the bones were so dry. The bones were so dry that when God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? The situation was so hopeless that the prophet, the man who hears from God, had to admit, God, only you can tell. In other words, this case, I would like to see it happen, but I don't believe that it can happen. But the Almighty God, who can make dry bones live again, can handle any hopeless situation. And I have good news for somebody here today. That thing that people called hopeless, in your case, will become your biggest testimony. I can give you several testimonies. Fresh ones. During the convention in America in June, a lady came to give a testimony. She's been waiting on the Lord for several years for the fruit of the womb. Finally, they got to the best doctor available, one professor or the other. He examined the husband, examined the wife, and told them, point blank, you can never have a child. Not by IVF or whatever, F, whatever. He said, forget it. You never can have a child. And then they came to the convention of last year. And at the Holy Ghost night like this, the word of God came and said, they told you your case is hopeless. And I am saying, I reverse that. Well, what happened? My wife got home, became pregnant, went to the same doctor. They say it is impossible, but we know there is something inside of you. We don't know how it got there. And when they came to testify, they were carrying 3 babies. Every one of you that have been told that your case is hopeless, I just want you to shout a big hallelujah. Because my God will surprise you this month. He reigns over hopeless cases. And then he reigns over sorrow. Because Bartimaeus was a sad man. But the Almighty God turned his sorrow to joy. He reigns over sorrow because the Bible says in Psalm 16 verse 11, the Bible says, in his presence there is the fullness of joy. There are people who have never known joy all their lives. But I have good news for you. Even before the sun rises this morning, you will be singing for joy. Why? Because in Psalm 30 verse 5, he said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, my joy cometh. Maybe I'm just because I'm about to round up now. Again, we'll pick one testimony from the American convention. When it is testimony time, we ask people to come, and we told them, you have only 2 minutes, because there was a long queue. Two minutes, everybody. And so they gave the microphone to this lady. And then she fell on the floor and began to sing. Ah. Sister, you have... She began to sing. Finally, when she finished singing, she said, you don't know why I am singing. She said, when I came to the convention last year, the doctors told me that I have less than 4 weeks to live, that I had terminal cancer. But then when I got here, a word came that those who came with hopeless cases, God is going to change their hopeless cases around. He said, by the time I got home, I was completely well. Look at me now. So we said, if you want to sing, you can go and sing. There's somebody here tonight. The next time we meet, when it is testimony time, you will say, my 2 minutes will be used for singing. If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Oh my, thank you, Father. The Lord says there's someone here tonight. He said the road that the enemy had closed has been opened. Ah, my, oh my. Thank you, Father. Let me say amen to this one too. But the Lord says that there is someone here. He said, your biggest testimony so far is just about to happen. Now let me conclude this first phase because I will come back again and talk to you for a few minutes. This King of Kings gave out an invitation several years ago. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, he says, if you come to me, I will take care of your enemies. I will take care of your sickness. I will take care of your poverty. I will take care of your stagnation. I will take care of your hopeless situations. I will take care of your sorrow. Don't you think it is foolishness to refuse such an invitation? When he says, come, just come, surrender your life to me, and then see me handle all the situations in your life. I think anybody who has any atom of sense at all will gladly respond to such an invitation. But do you know the reason why people don't respond? It's because he says, if you accept my invitation, you want me to give you rest, then you have to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, he says, I'm willing to be your savior. But if you want me to be your savior, I must be your Lord also. But he went further to say, in case you think you don't want to be under my management, compare my management with the management under which you are right now, and you will discover that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Rather than you stay with the devil who is grinding your nose in the dust, why don't you come to the King of Kings who will take care of your problems and take care of the enemies and give you joy in place of sorrow, give you prosperity in place of poverty, give you progress in place of stagnation? All these years that you've been serving the devil, what have you really gained? That's why I'm calling those of you who are here tonight who have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Come and do so now. I will count from 1 to 10. The choice is yours. If you want to come, you come. If you don't want to come, you stay. If you want to keep on suffering, that's up to you. If you want the King of Kings to take over the burdens of your life, as he cleanses you from sin, he begins to take care of your enemies, your poverty, your sickness, your sorrow. If that is preferable to you, then come now. I will count from 1 to 10. By the time I say 10, if you are not already standing before me, I will know that you don't want to come. And then the rest of us will continue with our program. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, get up now and begin to come. And I begin to count. 1. Yeah, just ask the people to give you room so you can come. And those of you who are coming from far, far down there, you better begin to move fast. This is a call for salvation. And you don't have time to waste because you never can tell. Jesus may arrive by tomorrow. By then, it will be too late for you to repent. And I don't see the reason why you want to spend a day longer with the devil. So you better come and surrender your life to Jesus Christ now. And the beauty of it is, it doesn't matter what you have done in the past. His blood cleanses from all sins. If you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you begin life afresh. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So come and start afresh. Brand new life. As if you have no history of any evil. Come and give your life to him now. And brethren, if you are clapping, then clap for the Lord. Because people are coming into the kingdom of the Almighty God. He's calling people out of darkness into light. We should rejoice. This is something to be excited about. This is the greatest miracle that you can ever see happening. Yes, keep coming. Come from all over. Come, this is your day of salvation. Come, are there people around to help me move them to the side if the aisle is being closed? Hurry up, hurry up. There are still many people coming. So spread them out so that they don't block the aisle for those who are coming forward. Please spread them out. Do I have counselors assisting here who can move the people a little to the side? No, move those people who are blocking the road to the side. Please, thank you. Move them to the right hand side and to the left. Keep coming. Now, there are some of you who are sitting down there claiming to be born again, but you are still living in sin. Now, don't deceive yourself. If you are truly born again, you will not want to commit sin. Bible says, he that is born of God does not sin, because the seed of God remains in him. So if you claim that you are born again, but you are still living in sin, you better come quickly and come and get the genuine one. And then there might be one or two who used to be truly born again, but you are backsliding. You've gone back to doing those things that you say you will never do again. Come, let God restore you. You can come quickly too. Now those of you on the way, just keep coming. Don't stop. Now those of us who are already in front, let's begin to pray now. Let's talk to the Almighty God in our own language. Just ask him, please save my soul. I want to surrender my life to you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to take control of my life from now on. And I promise you, with your help, I will live a life of holiness. Those of you on the way, you just keep coming. The rest of us, will you please stretch your hands towards these people and pray for their salvation? Pray that the God who saved your soul will save their own souls also. Please, let's pray for them. And those of you who are coming, I can see many of you. Yes, keep coming. Keep coming. Don't wait. Keep coming. I will wait a little bit before I pray for you. Keep coming. Please, brethren, let's intercede for these people. Let's pray that the Almighty God will have mercy on them and save their souls. That the one who saved us, the one who has kept us, will save their souls and he will keep them. That he will restore every backslider to himself tonight. Please pray. Yes, those of you on the way, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. I wait a little for you to reach here, and then I will pray. Yes, keep coming. I can see many of you. Keep coming. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Keep coming, keep coming. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you are still coming, just make sure you get here before I finish praying, because I have to pray now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I want to thank you for your word. I want to give you all glory and honor for all these people who have come forward tonight. Because you are the one who said in your word that no man can come unto you except the Father draws him. Thank you for drawing these people. And thank you that they have not refused your drawing. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Now, Father, you promised that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. These people have come to you now. Father, please receive them in Jesus' name. And I'm praying that today you will cleanse them in your blood in Jesus' name. Save their souls, write their names in the book of life. And I pray that from today onward, they will serve you all the days of their lives in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that they will never go back into the world. And every backslider that has come back to you today, please restore in Jesus' name. And I pray that in your kingdom, none of these of your children will be found wanting in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then let me hear somebody shout a big hallelujah. All right, now, you may be seated for just a minute. I was going to give you the prayer points one by one as we go along, but the Holy Spirit overtook that. And so I gave you only prayer point number one. You may want to write the remainders now. Because in a moment, you'll be praying. Point number two, Father, let my progress be rapid. He reigns over stagnation. When it takes care of stagnation, rapid progress begins. Father, let my progress be rapid. That's prayer point number two. Prayer point number three is not only for those who are sick, it's for those who are healthy also. He says, Father, order sickness to be far from me. Command sickness to be far from me. Prayer point number four, because he reigns over darkness, you want to pray and say, Father, let there be light in my life, in my home, in every facet of my life. Let there be light. Prayer point number five. Because he reigns over poverty, you will say, Father, put an end to every form of poverty in my life. You know, there are categories of poverty: material poverty, physical poverty, spiritual poverty, mental poverty, and so on. So, Father, put an end to every form of poverty in my life. And then, because he reigns over hopelessness, you will say, Father, turn my hopeless situations around. Father, turn my hopeless situations around. And finally, because he reigns over sorrow, you will pray and say, Father, don't let me know sorrow again, ever. Don't let me know sorrow again, ever. Now, I want to appeal to you in your own interest that you pray tonight, ignoring others. When we say pray now, there will be those who will seize that opportunity to those. It's their own choice. You know what you want. I remember years ago, I went to Korea, South Korea, and we went to the prayer mountain of Yonggi-cho. I knew what I wanted from the Lord. I had been general overseer at that time for about 5 years. I have tried everything to make the church grow. The church didn't grow. And I got to this man's church, and I heard him say to those who came to church that morning, please, those of you who are in church today, don't come next Sunday. So that those who could not find space this Sunday can come next Sunday. And that's when they were holding 7 services on Sunday. And he was telling those who were present, don't come. Hey, when I'm begging that. So when I got to that prayer mountain, they said we should go and pray. The boss took all of us. I discovered that later on they were searching for me because I was the only one they couldn't find when the boss wanted to depart. When finally they found me and they said, you delayed us. I said, I thought you said we should go and pray. And they said, but look at your watch. Then I discovered I've been praying for 3 hours only. I knew what I wanted. I don't know if you know what you want. I'm not going to ask you to pray for 3 hours. Only 30 minutes because time is gone. Otherwise, I will ask you to pray for 1 hour. But for the next 30 minutes, I want you to pour out your heart to the Almighty God. Don't wait for anybody else. Will you please stand? And how many of you really want to pray? How many of you want things to change? How many of you are tired of the way things are? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. I've given you the 7 points. Now go ahead and begin to talk to the Almighty God. Begin to talk to Him now. Father, silence all my enemies. Cause them to hear a noise from you. Let my progress be rapid. Other sickness to be far from me. Let there be light in my life, in my home, in every facet of my life. Put an end to every form of poverty in my life. Turn my hopeless situations around. And don't let me know sorrow ever again. Keep on talking to the Almighty God. Pray. This is a prayer session. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. Your neighbor may not need the miracles you need. You pray. Pray like warriors. Pray. Until the Almighty God says, okay, I have heard you. Call on Him now.
You're watching Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn. there is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. Join us on this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God.